really are seeing this evolution of caste that's happening here, you know, 12 or 15 years after we started talking about this as a separate service line that was gaining traction.
We are back with episode number 190 of Future Proof. Wow, we're closing in on 200 people. Amazing. My name is Bill Sheridan. I've been here for all of them. And glad you're here with me this week because we got a good show for you. We're going to get to that show here in just a second. First of all, a quick reminder that this week's show is made possible by our preferred providers. And we actually, as I say every week, we like to think of these folks as partners, right? These are the organizations, the relationships, the partnerships that allow us, the MACPA, to do a lot of the great stuff that we do for our profession and our members, including this podcast. But these partners, they do way more than that, right? They're doing things that we believe can help you all become a little bit more future ready and kind of thrive in this ever-changing world. And help is really the key word here. They truly do want to help. So please reach out to them, find out more about what they can do for you, how they can help you, because they can. You'll find out more about all of our preferred providers on our website at macpa.org/showcase. So with all of the hype, and there's been a lot of hype surrounding new AI tools like ChatGPT, it can be easy to forget sometimes that some of the most established influential trends out there are having just as much impact on our profession and the work you all do, if not more, than these shiny new tech toys that we're talking about, right? Client accounting services, just to cite one example, CAS or CAS or whatever you want to call it. It's been around for a while, right? And it's still having a huge impact on the profession. And in fact, it's tied at the hip to tech tools like AI and automation because, you know, the more grunt work you can automate, the more time you can devote to providing value-added services like CAS. Seems like firms everywhere are still trying to figure it out, right? Trying to get it right and are just trying to figure out how to get started at all. Sometimes everyone wants in, seems like. And that's not going to change anytime soon, not if you believe the folks at Accounting Today. Anyway, Dan Hood wrote an article recently titled Remembering Ahead, 10 years into the future of accounting. He made a few predictions about some of the major ways in which the profession will have changed in 2033. Among them, he writes, all practices will be CAS practices. As technology automates more and more compliance work, the client accounting / advisory services model will become the standard, with accountants deploying and managing the technology that maintains compliance while primarily providing advice and counsel based on the results. This will be true in just about every area, with the likely exception of audit, end quote. So, with all that in mind, it's worth asking, what are the best CAS practices out there doing that the rest of us aren't? And luckily, we've got at least one set of answers, courtesy of the CAS Benchmark Survey. That comes from the folks at CPA.com and the AICPA's Private Companies Practice section. The Journal of Accountancy recently took a deep dive into this list, and here are some things that you ought to be thinking about if you're looking to start or improve your work in the CAS area. Quoting here now from the Journal of Accountancy, number one, move away from hourly billing. When clients are billed by the hour, they can feel like they're on a meter and be reluctant to call their CPA firms with questions for fear of being charged. But CAS relies on a close relationship between CPAs and clients, and it isn't as effective if clients are hesitant about getting in touch. Number two, establish dedicated CAS staff. CAS staff can be more effective when they're not dividing their time between CAS and other areas of the firm. Number three, restrict the number of general ledger software programs you support. Limiting the number of GL programs you use makes for greater efficiency because it reduces the amount of time staff need to spend learning new software. Number four, invest in staff. Hiring the best staff, treating them well, and ensuring they get the training they need are naturally best practices for any accounting firm. Top CAS performers, though, stress the importance of staffing to a high-touch area such as CAS. Number five, secure buy-in from firm leadership. In top-performing CAS practices, firm leadership not only understands the value of CAS, but has also aligned firm strategy and governance to support CAS growth. Number six, be selective about which clients you accept. CPA firms know that accepting clients that aren't a good fit will likely lead to conflict sooner or later. That's especially true for a CAS practice where CPAs work so closely with business owners. Number seven, focus on some new main niches, right? Concentrating on a limited number of niches or verticals will allow your staff to develop expertise in those areas, something that's harder to do if they work with a wide variety of clients. And number eight, educate clients on CAS and its value. Many clients aren't aware of what services CPA firms can offer them beyond bookkeeping and compliance, and how these services can boost their businesses. So some great insights there from the 2020 CAS Benchmark Survey and the Journal of Accountancy. Now, CPA.com and AICPA have updated that survey as of late 2020. So brand new CAS Benchmark Survey is out. They do this every 2 years or so. So there's a whole slew of new insights and new advice available to those who want to fine-tune their CAS practices or even simply to get started in the first place. So I was really excited to dive in and take a closer look at what's new on the CAS front. And here to help me do that are my guests this week. Yes, you heard right. Plural. Guests, plural. They are Amy Bridges and Beth Allen. Amy is a professional development manager at CPA.com, which produced the 2022 CAS Benchmark Survey. Beth, meanwhile, is a partner with Greer Walker in Charlotte and head of the firm's client accounting services division. And they joined me recently to walk through some of the results of the survey, including how much CAS has grown in recent years, a closer look at the client pipeline and opportunities for further growth, staffing changes as a result of CAS, and how CAS has changed the playing field for major firms like Greer Walker. So a really illuminating look this week at an area of the profession that is quickly growing and likely to continue to grow into the foreseeable future. Here is my conversation with Amy Bridges and Beth Allen. Amy, Beth, thanks so much for joining me today. Amy, let's start with you. And I'm looking for a little bit of information about the survey and its methodology. Who participated? Who do they represent? Tell me a little bit about the survey itself.
Thanks, Bill. This is the third iteration of CPA.com's Client Advisory and Accounting Services Benchmark Survey. It's newly released, obviously. We're very excited about it. And in this third iteration, we think that the survey is really starting to hit its stride. That's what you see when you do these kinds of benchmark surveys. The methodology really starts with the fact that it is a self-selected participation. So in the first couple of iterations, we had a smaller sample size. We were really excited this year because we had more than a 75% increase in the participation. Nice. We think that increase in participation supports some of the other findings around the growth and the excitement around client advisory services in the accounting profession. So the survey is limited to practices that are in the United States, but we do see practices from all over the country. We see practices of all sizes, everything from sole practitioners who are providing CAS services to a really small number of clients, all the way up to top 20 firms that are doing CAS in a really kind of big way. We also see that they represent practices that are at every phase of what we think of as, we at CPA.com think of as this CAS journey. So we saw firms and practices who are really just getting started. They only have a few clients. Maybe they are doing something that's going to turn into CAS, but it's not quite there yet. Mm-hmm. We saw firms that have come through some of our training and workshops that we know are also sort of just getting started, but they have a good business plan and they really have a direction for where they're going. And then we see firms like Beth's that have been doing CAS for a number of years, have really started to get optimized, and they're efficient with what they're doing. And they're seeing the kinds of top performing results that made this iteration of the biannual survey really exciting.
That's great. I can't wait to talk to Beth a little bit more about what Grid-Walker is doing. Just in general, Amy, the state of CAS today, I mean, based on what you're seeing in the surveys, are we seeing a leveling off at all, or is this still growing? Where are we going at this point?
That was probably the most exciting thing about this year's survey. You know, we did a survey in 2020. The first one was in 2018. And we wondered if we would see a little bit of leveling off as we got to the third iteration of the survey. Not only did we see a 75% increase in participation, but we actually saw for the third time in this survey, the median point of the growth reported by participating CAS practices was in the double digits. So the median of both the full survey numbers and the top performers was 16%, representing that fully half of the survey participants grew more than 16% in that 2020 to 2021 year. The survey period represented by this data was the calendar year 2020. So this survey is a really great snapshot of what was happening just about a year ago.
Did the pandemic have any impact at all on any of the results? Or can you even speak to that? I'm not sure.
Sure. I think we can. I definitely think that we can speak to that. You know, CPA.com has been talking a lot about the evolution of CAS and the growth that we've seen. This year's survey certainly validated that what we are hearing about anecdotally is absolutely happening, that the growth is strong. It doesn't show any signs of retreating or even slowing right now. We have practices that are reporting that their projected growth for the coming year is, the median there is 15%. So we've outpaced the projected in the first, you know, in these last two surveys. Mm-hmm. So we anticipate that is actually a pretty fair number if they think they're going to see 15% or more, you know, the median number again being 15%. We think that will absolutely happen. One of the things that we saw during the pandemic, the early stages of the pandemic, was that CAS practices who were optimized and already offering these types of services to their clients were really well positioned to meet new types of needs. One of the things that we saw in this survey was a bigger response around new service offerings. Clearly, something that has happened in these past two or three years is that clients who are taking advantage of this type of outsourced accounting, outsourced advisory services are interested in asking for additional services that CPA firms and CAS practices are uniquely positioned to be able to provide. It was one of the really neat things about being able to do this survey in 2020 and again in 2022 was to see that the pandemic has actually really fueled the growth and the evolution that was already happening around the client advisory services area.
That's, yeah, kind of an interesting paradox there. So walk me through some of the other surveys results. Okay, we talked a little bit about growth. Client pipeline, for instance, still strong? I mean, are there still opportunities for further growth going forward?
You know, it's interesting. We dug into this idea of the sales pipeline. You know, we know that outside of accounting firms, you know, people are really interested in that close rate or how you're getting new clients, where they're coming from. We asked a lot of new questions about that in the survey this year. And we discovered that the first question that we asked about their health of the pipeline, you know, 81% of our top performers said that they were positioned in a really strong place to continue to grow because of that sales pipeline. They either said their growth was off the charts or their growth was positioned the way that they wanted to be able to grow. As a matter of fact, I happen to know that that's exactly the way Beth's firm answered that particular question. Mm-hmm. However, it goes deeper than that because we asked questions about the way that they were seeing that pipeline. You know, is it internal clients that are being referred from tax or from audit, from other areas of the firm? Is it external clients that are coming, you know, to the firm? And we saw that they're closing those new clients, internal referrals at a rate of 75%, external referrals at a rate of 65%. In fact, those numbers are so high that we actually think that that represents probably an undercount. The idea that practices can't actually take all the new clients that are coming to them. And so that close rate is probably artificially depressed.
Yeah.
So you asked about some of the other statistics we saw in this survey. You know, I think the pipeline is and the opportunity is probably one of the biggest stories. But honestly, the other big story was the incredible differentiation that we saw around practices that have dedicated staffing. Mm-hmm. Understanding that dedicated staffing for CAS, where you don't have staff that are, you know, taking the tax season to step away from this business line. Really makes an enormous difference. We're also seeing that the entire business model is starting to get shifted just a little bit. You know, we're seeing more top performing firms that have a partner in place. We're seeing more firms that are looking to just looking to change up the way they measure their practices. Mm-hmm. So we really are seeing this evolution of CAS that's happening here, you know, 12 or 15 years after we started talking about this as a separate service line that was gaining traction.
I'm kind of interested when you talk about staffing, how do you have a sense of how many firms out there have taken on dedicated staffing roles specifically to CAS at this point?
In the survey report, we showed that about 10% of the top performing, you know, the top performers. So let me back up and tell you that the top performers in this survey were represented as the top 25% of survey respondents based on what we called net client fees per professional. So the revenue that is entrusted to, you know, per FTE mm-hmm. in the CAS practice. So what ends up happening, Bill, is this idea that if you don't have full-time staff, then that FTE, you know, gets the overall FTE that's dedicated to your practice is going to be a lot lower. It also means that the attention is split. You know, staff aren't able to really think fully about the clients that they're working with. About 10% of those top performers aren't doing anything but CAS. So this is an interesting sort of side note that there are a number of these organizations that are popping up that aren't actually part of a CPA firm. 57% of our top performers have 100% of their staff dedicated to CAS. Wow. And, you know, of what's left, 19% say that only some of their, you know, staff are supporting other practices. So they're doing a little bit of tax or a little bit of something else. What we've seen, though, is that those top performers there's such a big gap between the amount of revenue that they can handle. That net client fees per professional was almost double for the top performing firms. The median of the top performers was almost double the median of all respondents. And we think that that correlates very strongly to this idea that once you have staff who are dedicated and they're able to be fully committed to those CAS clients, it really starts to get into those efficiencies, the processes that you're putting in place, you know, the optimization that you gain from the cloud-based technology that's kind of the foundation of it all. So that staffing number, honestly, was probably the other big, big headline alongside the growth in this particular, in this year's report.
What are some of the other things that stick out for you in terms of what the top performers are doing that maybe others are not?
We know that top performers are really investing in what they're doing. So first of all, top performers, you know, have started to move away from the hourly billing. Well, they've not just started to, they've really moved away from the hourly billing. Mm-hmm. By moving away from that tie to the billable hour, it allows them to put time into the strategy. It allows them to put time into the training and the education that their staff need, that they need for their clients to be able to work in that collaborative kind of way. Top performers have been offering CAS longer. We saw a strong correlation in this data at the point that you hit about 3 years. So we know that it takes a while to get started. Yep. We also saw that top performers, you know, all of their financial data is better, obviously, not only that net client fee per professional, but also they have a significantly higher average revenue per client. Mm-hmm. And again, we believe that a lot of that comes from the types of services that they're offering. As they have more dedicated staff, they're offering more advisory. They're able to do more for each of those clients, which brings that per client revenue up. We also saw, interestingly, in a new question that we asked this year, that top performers typically have a higher percentage of revenue coming from project-based types of services, not just those monthly recurring services. And we think that some of that is, you know, just being able to attend to clients' needs with extra projects, extra, you know, extra work around, you know, maybe a client needs you to help them do evaluation or something else. But it also comes from new clients where they're charging for onboarding, they're charging for implementation services, and they're charging for that ever important initial CAS client assessment that mm-hmm. helps them understand how to best serve the client. We also know that top performers differ a little bit around just the technology that they're using. We know that they tend to, because they've been doing it a little longer, they probably have a better tech stack that they've selected. They're not still using the technology that the client brought to them. They're also much more likely to use workflow tools and other kinds of tools to make sure that their CAS practice is really running the way they want it to. Top performers are also slightly more likely to outsource some of the bookkeeping, maybe even outsource some of the compliance-based accounting work, and they are utilizing AI. Finally, just around the staffing area, we know that that top performers also have more remote staff. So they're not really tied to bringing staff back into the office. I think this is one of the things that we've seen that is a result of the last few years where we saw that, you know, working in the office didn't necessarily equate to success.
Beth, so as Amy said, Greer Walker, one of those top performers. So congratulations, first of all, that's great news. Just kind of in general, what has offering these types of services meant to your firm?
So we started our CAS practice 9 to 10 years ago, kind of really got it off the ground, I would say late in 2012, and started really offering those services in 2013. And we were not a firm that did your traditional write-up work or bookkeeping services. We were, you know, really purely an assurance and tax with, you know, a few other complementary services. And so when we brought this into Greer Walker, It really helped us round out that service offering for our clients. It helps us to be more of that full service advisor. And when you're in the day-to-day with clients, it truly helps on that tax side or on the other advisory services that we're performing, because we know the ins and outs of the clients from the regular communication more so than if you're only, you know, meeting with them once, twice, maybe three times a year. So I think probably one of the best things it did is just really helped us take those client relationships to the next level. It's really helped our clients grow and prosper. We are helping them through this CAS offering get their books and records in shape, hopefully from day one. We do tend to work with a lot of startup clients here at GreerWalker. And so we're getting, you know, those good processes and procedures, segregation of duties, good accounting, all of that in place from the beginning, rather than having to make some major shifts for them as they grow and maybe need more of those compliance type services down the road. And then, you know, when I look at what it's done for the firm, I think we as a firm just know that this is that next generation of accounting in CPA firms. And so to be offering that has been exciting for our firm. And I think knowing that we at GreerWalker have the leadership team support behind the CAS department helps us to want to continue to grow and prosper and develop ourselves. But then also do that for our clients as well. And so we're always looking for opportunities to improve internally, but then helping our clients improve as well.
That's interesting. You mentioned that kind of next generation of services for CPA firms. Do you find that offering this type of work and really zeroing and focusing in on it might be a differentiator of sorts for the firm in terms of things like recruiting and retention or things of that nature? What are your thoughts on that?
I absolutely do. It's been interesting. I think we all know as you go through that recruiting process, especially on the university campuses, the question that's always asked is auditor tax. and my goal is, as I go do recruiting on campuses, is to offer that third kind of alternative and just call it advisory, you know, from the beginning. And so, you know, it's been really interesting to see students jump onto that. I think they have an interest, one, from the fact that we're bringing a lot of technology into the work we're doing. When we talk about what our day-to-day is like, you see them light up in a way that you don't necessarily see them light up in other fields. And so that has been fun as we do the recruiting. And I think sometimes it's letting them be a part of your day-to-day to understand what accounting is really about. I think we all know that, you know, student numbers have declined. Folks staying in the profession have declined over time. And so I think the more we can talk about the differentiators of being CAS, I feel like it's bringing some excitement back to the profession.
Yeah, definitely. So back to the survey itself for a second. How has GreerWalker used the results of this survey to kind of, you know, maybe improve your CAS practice going forward and to remain, you know, among one of those top performers?
So CAS practices just work differently inside of a CPA firm than your other departments do. And so this survey has been instrumental for our group in multiple ways. One, it has truly helped provide benchmarking data that we can track on a annual and monthly basis internally to make sure that we're in a constant improvement mode. So I've taken much of the data out of the report and developed our own dashboard that we're looking at regularly. But it also, because of looking at those numbers, it's leading us to really want to drive efficiency. And how can we as a team continue to get more efficient so that we can grow and not necessarily have to bring on additional people for that growth? And so we've been through various different processes. You know, we've brought in consultants too to help us, because sometimes you can't look at your own processes and see where the change needs to be made. Having that fresh set of eyes has been helpful. But the survey results have been very instrumental in that. It has also been instrumental just in some of the conversations I've had with other partners of how we're different. Amy laughs, but I take the survey in, you know, for various partner meetings to say, here's the metrics that we as CAS groups are looking at versus maybe, you know, realization and utilization that the traditional CPA firm is looking at. We, you know, bill based on, you know, not hourly billing, we bill based on value billing. mm-hmm. or at least a set monthly kind of fee since we're a part of our client's team. And so our metrics may not look exactly the same just based on the ebbs and flows of doing day-to-day accounting. And so truly having this survey has been helpful from an internal kind of management standpoint, but then also communicating how we're different so that the CAS team employees aren't kind of graded on the same metrics that the rest of the firm is graded on, that we as a department aren't necessarily graded on those same metrics, and that we can show that we've had growth and, you know, prosperity through the 9 to 10 years we've been doing this.
Yeah, that's fantastic. What's different at the firm as a result of putting CAS in place? And I guess that could be anything, from, you know, culture to workflow to anything else. I mean, how is Greer Walker a different place now, as a result of what you're doing on the CAS side?
Beth, I'm going to pop in and say that I know from the survey that you have a CAS department. At Greer Walker, you've made the change sometime several years ago that CAS doesn't report up through another partner. It doesn't report up through another department. Mm-hmm. And as a result, you are able to do things within your CAS department that are different from others. So that's one way I think that your firm has differentiated itself as a top performer and a change that allows you to employ some of those best practices.
I absolutely agree with that. I think culturally too, we as a team are just different. When you build those relationships with clients on a daily basis, you feel like you're working in two places, so to speak. One, you're a part of a client team, which has a culture of its own and can lead to lots of challenges, but also growth and development within those clients. And then we as a team, our culture has strengthened over the time because of doing that daily work. I feel like we are very collaborative, and that leads to a strong culture within our group. And then I would say, as I just go back to it, being able to round out a service offering to where a client can come to one spot and know that they are going to have kind of their full accounting life cycle taken care of, mm-hmm. just really helps solidify those relationships. And accounting is a relationship business, and this really just helps us to be able to dive in and in many cases solidify that relationship on the front end that will hopefully be a really long relationship with the firm.
That's great. So a quick question to close here, and I'm going to address this to both of you. So Beth first, and I guess speaking from your experience there at Greer Walker, but how do you think CAS itself is evolving? How might it change going forward? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I think there's constant need for evolving and growing in CAS, and I think that comes in many different formats. One of them being just processes, always looking at those, looking for, you know, best practices, practice improvement, all of, you know, getting more lean, I think is always a piece. And then we are absolutely trying to make the shift from being more transactional to more advisory. And that has really resonated with our team. I am seeing them enjoy doing work more as you can move to that advisory work more so than just doing transaction work. So that has been a great move. And one of the things that we're really excited as we move into next year is to really start doing more training on the advisory services, starting at our associate level. Oftentimes right now, I think the advisory work is more with the more experienced folks within our firm, and to start that training at the advisory level, at the associate level for advisory services, I think is going to continue to build the relationships we have within the team but it's also going to teach them those skills that hopefully they can help move to advisory much sooner than maybe folks have moved to advisory in the past. And so that's really exciting for us as a team to move forward and have that training and the ability to do that earlier, rather than going, gosh, you've been here for a really long time. Now let me teach you advisory. Let's start that on day one.
Right. Well, that's exciting. Amy, how about you from where you sit and your experience with the survey itself? How do you think CAS is evolving?
Well, from the point of view of the survey, obviously we're very excited to see this continued interest in CAS and the evolution and the growth and just the survey data that supports and validates what we hear anecdotally all the time. That CAS is growing and doesn't show any sign of stopping. I think Beth just pointed out, though, a couple of things that CPA.com sees around the future of CAS. The first is that as technology continues to permeate every aspect of the way that we work with clients in the accounting profession, we're going to see more and more of the compliance work being done in an automated kind of way. And we need accountants, we need CPAs, even in the early stages of their career, who understand how to interpret that data and use it for advisory services. And so, as Beth said, CAS, you know, started as a way to round out their service. But I think that CAS is eventually going to become, you know, the idea that flips a lot of firms on their head, where CAS is the front door. It's no longer the add-on service that they're getting referred to after the tax work has been secured. CAS will be the first service. CAS will be the foundational service, and everything else will actually grow from there. And that's a real change in the way that we see that that model starting to happen. I think that's the future. I don't think that's going to happen in the next 2 or 3 years. I don't think we're going to see that in the next iteration of this survey. But I do certainly see that that's the type of relationship as we move from just being trusted advisor to trusted business insights advisor and offering those higher level advisory services where we really get, you know, acquainted with clients in a way that we're offering more than just financial insights.
Well, it's going to be exciting to follow and see where this goes going forward. But in the meantime, Amy, Beth, thank you so much for your time, for your insights. Fascinating stuff. And I look forward to see where we go from here. But thank you so much for your time. Great talk there with Amy Bridges and Beth Allen. Amy is the professional development manager at CPA.com, which produced the 2022 CAS Benchmark Survey. And Beth is a partner with Greer Walker in Charlotte and head of the firm's Client Accounting Services Division. You can learn more about the latest CAS Benchmark Survey and download the survey in its entirety by visiting cpa.com/CAS Benchmark. That's CAS Benchmark. And don't forget, this week's show is made possible by our preferred providers, our partners in this profession. They're doing things that we believe can help you become a little bit more future ready and thrive in this ever-changing world. And you'll find out more about all of our preferred providers on our website at macpa.org/showcase. And that is our show for this week. It's a wrap, folks. Thanks for being here. Have a great week. We will talk to you again soon.